But I wanted to talk about Christmas. I want to talk about Matthew's version of the Christmas story that Sheila read just a minute ago, because when you think about it, that is the one account of Christmas that you hear the least. When you think about the Christmas story, when I think about the Christmas story, what immediately comes to mind? Luke 2, those enchanting words, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Now that's the Christmas story. And there's just something magical about a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and shepherds abiding in the field, and angels appearing, and that wonderful, glorious pronouncement, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then John's gospel begins with that lofty, majestic, theological thunder and philosophical eloquence. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is a light that shines in the darkness. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And even in the second chapter of Matthew, we have the enchanting account of these mysterious magi who come from the east following a star of wonder. But then there's the first chapter of Matthew. Matthew's version is messy. It's awkward. It's delicate. This is the inconvenient incarnation. You see, Joseph, we don't hear much about Joseph, but Joseph is a really good guy. He is. Matthew says he is a righteous man. And Joseph is betrothed, or we would say engaged, to a young girl named Mary. Now, Mary's also good. Mary is faithful. Mary loved God with all of her heart. But marriages were different back then. It didn't have a whole lot to do with love, to be honest with you. Now, there are love stories in the Bible. The story of Ruth and Boaz comes to mind. But this isn't a love story. Marriages in Jesus' day rarely had anything to do with love. In this small, poor settlement of Nazareth, this was a pre-arranged marriage of expediency, of survival, of financial frugality. For you see, Joseph is going to need some sons to help him survive and to care for him in his old age. And so therefore, he needed a wife. And Mary's father, who no doubt had negotiated the betrothal contract, and probably when Mary was a little girl, her father decided that she was going to marry Joseph. And they had a legal contract that they signed. And the reason he did this was he wanted to make sure that she had a good man, that she had somebody who was decent and kind and righteous to take care of his daughter, because otherwise a girl back in Jesus' day didn't have any way to survive. Joseph was simply waiting around for this young girl to come of age. In other words, till she got old enough so she could bear children. And all of a sudden, his world came crashing down with the news that his young fiancée was pregnant, and he was not the father. He may not have even realized that Mary was old enough to conceive a child. This was a nightmare. This was a tragedy. But this is real life, isn't it? I mean, this is messy. He's supposed to marry this girl, and he finds out that she's going to have a baby. He doesn't know who's responsible. Real life is about relationships that fell, about betrayal and hurt and heartache. Joseph couldn't marry this girl now. The Scripture, and he was a man who believed in the Scripture was very clear as to what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to stone her to death. But he was a good man. He was a decent man. He was a kind man. And he couldn't do that. And so he said, there's got to be another way. So he was making arrangements for Mary just to disappear, to quietly go away. I don't know where she was going. But you know, the sad thing is, Joseph probably wrestled on how is she going to survive. She's not going to have anybody to take care of her. What's going to happen to her? It was a terrible situation to be in. I'm sure that Joseph had many sleepless nights. And isn't that true of all of us? Life, more often than not, is full of sleepless nights, of tossing and turning, and uncertainty, anxiety, as we ponder the hurt of betrayal, as we wrestle with the darkness of despair. Maybe some of you had a sleepless night last night. There's something going on in your family, something so painful you can't even talk about it. We can't begin to imagine the agony that Joseph was in. Some of you have been hurt and betrayed, maybe not by a significant other, but by a business. When you were made promises and all of a sudden you're told it's over. But in the midst of this painful, hurtful night of anxiety, there is an angel. There is an angel who comes and tells Joseph exactly what is going on. And he tells Joseph not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, for this baby is of God. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, for God is with us. The great theologian Karl Barth once said, Christmas without fear carries with it fear without Christmas. The thing is, Karl Barth never explained what he meant by that. Christmas without fear carries with it fear without Christmas. I think what he was saying is, until we have experienced the darkness, until we have had those sleepless nights, until we have been hurt and we have been betrayed, we will never know of the power and the majesty and the hope and the joy of Christmas. When we gather here on Christmas Eve, the candles that we light would not have very much meaning if we did not experience the darkness to begin with. Before we can truly experience the enchanting, magical, theological majesty of John's gospel, we must experience the darkness. We must feel the pain as Joseph felt. And somehow, in the midst of all of that, there's a message. There's a message to not be afraid, that God is with us. And he comes to us in the most remarkable, amazing way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And one day in the little town of Bethlehem, a baby was born. And the mother wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the angels came and proclaimed to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. And there was glorious rejoicing, and the trumpets were sounding, For God had come in human form. A baby has been born who is the very Son of God. And we can have joy, joy, because Jesus is born. But we never really understand it until we walk through the valleys and we walk through the darkness and we feel the hurt and we feel the pain. And then we hear the message, rejoice. Emmanuel, God is with us. When the angel came to Joseph, he had a decision to make. He had to act, and he acted. He took Mary as his wife. As God comes to us and offers us the gift of salvation, we have a decision to make. We have to act. We have to accept it. I know that we have one here today who's going to make that decision, who's going to come forward and say, I've invited Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Maybe there's someone else. Maybe you've been waiting to make this decision. Maybe you've been waiting to join the church. Today is the day. What a better day. We're going to sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. And as we stand and as we sing, if there is a public decision for you to make, I urge you to respond.